The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
In Jesus' name we pray. Father, thank you for your word and this opportunity to fellowship around your word. This evening, we receive clear understanding of God's word, strong manifestation of the Spirit, and we live here better persons in Jesus' name. So let's be seated so we can teach very quickly so that we all can begin to find our way home. Hallelujah. It's great to see you here today. Very, very great to see you. You know, earlier this morning, I held a meeting with our ministers, and we were just asking questions. Are people going to come? And all that. Amen. But I celebrate the fact that you are here. Hallelujah. Help me celebrate your neighbor. Tell the person I celebrate you. I'm happy you came. God bless you. Glory to God. And so, but then, that notwithstanding, we are going to be very fast so that everybody can be able to find their way home. Amen. So I'll continue what I started, for what I've been talking about for the past 2 or 3 weeks now on a superior system. A superior system. Hallelujah. And I can tell you that that message is already working out a lot of things in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what? I was talking about it last week. The world sees us as, you know, the system of the world and the system of the word of God, they are not the same thing. They are opposite each other. And one of the things I said on the first day, and I'm going to say that because of what is happening today, one of the things I said on the first day is the fact that you should never expect that the world will understand the things you do. Never expect that the world will understand the things you do. You know, you find out that the world, you know, there are some things. I was giving an example. If you stay in class for 8 hours receiving lectures, nobody has a problem with that. But if you stay in church for 8 hours under God's word, everybody has a problem with that. What are you learning? Are they sharing beans? Are they sharing rice? What are you doing there? Glory to God. You know, there's this thing about the system of the world and that of God's word that are opposite each other. But never be found, like we said last week, trying to conform to their thought pattern and their systems. I get the point. Never be found trying to do that. For instance, you are here today and people are wondering, are you going to church even today? How are you going to find means to be in church? Hallelujah. But if it was the person's sister's traditional marriage and you say, I'm going, say, it makes sense. I tried. I didn't get the point. You know, our value systems differ. Our values. Now, I asked some people sometimes, when people say, I was not able to come to church. I say, why couldn't you come? I say, well, I woke up and I was feeling a bit tired and I didn't come. And then you send a text to your team lead in church. Say, ma, I won't be in church this morning. My head was turning. So I couldn't come. And then you expect everybody to understand you. Now, when last did you send that kind of text to your examiner in school? There you guys had the exam. And say, hello, sir. I just couldn't come today. My head was rotating. I will come when next have an exam. You will come next year. So come and write it. Or send that text to your boss at the office. You know, you see, there's a system in the world that really doesn't value God. Really doesn't care about God. You get the point? They don't really care about God. You see, but then we are here to defy that system. Amen? Because we come from a superior system. And one scripture we're going to start with, like we did last week, is Romans 12 verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible will teach us not to conform to this world. So we start with King James and then we look at messages. It's actually a message I want to teach from, but start with King James today. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now the message translation, pretty quickly. The message translation. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. He said, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. And that's the point I was making last week. The culture in the world wants to drag you down to their level of immaturity. So the Bible refers to the culture of the world as immature. I don't get the point. They're trying to bring you down to their level. You know, I said this, anytime you find yourself trying to pattern your life or your thought pattern towards the culture of the world, always know that you're going down. It doesn't matter how popular it is. It doesn't matter how many people hail the things you do. You are going down. Are you getting me? Always dragging you down to its level of maturity. He said, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So there is a culture in the world. There is a dress culture in the world. There is a thought pattern in the world. The world has its own culture, its own system. Whenever you find yourself trying to do like them or think like them or talk like them or perceive things like them, you are being dragged down. Are you following me, friends? And that's what we're talking about, the fact that we have a superior system. We have a superior system. And it's not the same with the world. John chapter 8, verse 22. So we'll just do a little recap, even though I've started teaching for today. John 8, verse 22. Jesus was talking, of course, we start with King James. Say, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said to them, whither I go, you cannot come. He said, I'm going to somewhere you cannot come. So I'm wondering, what does this guy want to do? Does he want to kill himself? He said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. So Jesus looked at people and told them, you are from beneath, I am from above. And he, in case they were thinking he was talking about something else, he explained what he meant. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So of this world, he calls it beneath. Not of this world, he calls it above. Are you getting me, friends? Always remember that. There is a clear difference between the world and the unbelievers. Between unbelievers, we're looking at it last week, where the Bible will tell us there is no comparison between the temple of God and Belial. You see, there is a clear difference, and we come from a superior system. Above, hallelujah. We are not of this world, and that has to sing into your head. John 17 verse 14, let's look at that quickly. We are not of this world. We are from above. We are from above. We are not from beneath. From this world is God beneath. Not of this world is God above. He said, I have given them thy word. Jesus was talking. He was talking to God. He said, and the world had hated them. Now, why did the world hate them? Go back to me. Why does the world hate us? Because they are not of this world. Even as I am not of this world. Say, I'm not of the world. Say it again. Say, I'm not of the world. Hallelujah. Say, they're not of this world. Verse 15. Even as I'm not of the world. Just the next verse. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. I'm going to come to this very shortly. Verse 16. To keep them from the evil. Next verse, quickly. They are not of the world. And this is it. They are not of the world, even as I am. So we are in the world. We say that all the time. But we are not of the world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we will never be found trying to act like people of this world just because we are in this world. I get the point. Just because we are in this world doesn't mean we should start acting like people of this world. And so never be found. Listen, that's why I tell people most times what people call popular opinion is not always the best. The fact that everybody thinks even half of the time, if everybody thinks it's okay, it is wrong. Not all the time, but most times. Why? Because this world, I'll just show you, majority of people in this world is governed by darkness. I get the point. So half of the time, when everybody is saying, oh, that makes sense, it is wrong. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter how popular something is. If the word of God says it is wrong, it is forever wrong. It doesn't matter how popular, how everybody thinks it's okay to do it. I don't get the point. You know, the good thing about it is the fact that the Bible can never change, has never changed, can never have a second edition. It is the same Bible. If it was relevant 200 years ago, it is relevant today. And if Jesus is going to tarry for the next 2,000 years, the standards of this word of God should also count for them. And never forget that. I get the point. So if the world thinks it's okay, but the world thinks it's not okay, we follow what the word of God says. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, the reason for some of these teachings is not really to condemn you or to make you start feeling bad. No. The reason is, it shows you that you are not, even when you find yourself making some mistakes and living somehow, have it at the back of your mind that this is not me and this is below me. And that's where your victory starts from. I get to the point. When you begin to settle into that and feel like, ah, this is just me, you will never move on from it. But settle in your mind that this is not me and this is below me. Hallelujah. This is below me. Always remember that. Now, a few things I'm going to say today. First, look at verse 15 of this, John 17, verse 15. If I'm going to title this teaching, this particular episode, this particular part today and next week, I will call it How to Impose Our Superior System on This World. How to impose this system of the our system on the system of the world. How do we get a point? Few things. One, he says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them. So the first thing is, Jesus says, we don't need to be taken out of this world. The first thing I'd like you to know is that even though the world is full of darkness, we are not supposed or expected to run from the world. No. Jesus said, we should not be taken away from the world. He's telling God, I'm not praying that you remove them. Are you getting me, friends? Even though there is darkness in the world, even though there is wickedness in the world, the position of the believer is not to run from the world. As a matter of fact, you can't even run from the world. We are going to run to except you're going to die. And I can show you that if we all begin to run from the world, what it will mean is, once someone gets born again, the person dies. And if that begins to happen, I'm going to show you something. If that begins to happen, there is no hope for this world. You will see somewhere in this teaching that the only hope of this earth are believers. Some of you don't realize what the Bible means that by saying we are the salt of the earth. Amen? We are the ones adding flavor to this world. Adding meaning to this world. I'm going to show you that shortly. Are you following me? Are you following me? So we are not to run from this world. Secondly, we are not also supposed to succumb to its system. So we are going to stay in this world, but we're not going to submit ourselves to their ways of thinking. That's why Romans 12 verse 2 will tell us, do not conform to this world. So we are in this world. We're not running from this world. And we will not submit ourselves to their ways of doing things. And then we are not going to also subject ourselves to the rule of this world and become victims to them. I'll show you something. 1 John 5 verse 19. You know, I told you this world, majority of what is going on in this world is governed by Satan. And that's why we must also subject ourselves to the rule of this world. He said, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Are you following me? The whole world lies in wickedness. So we must never be found trying to subject ourselves to the rule of the world. 1 John 4 verse 4 will tell us that we are of God and we have overcome them. Glory to God. He said, ye are of God, little children, I have overcome them because greater is he. Glory to God. So because greater is that is in us, we must never be found trying to come under the dominion of what is going on in the world. Now, what God would rather have us do is to influence this world with our own super culture. To influence this world with our own superior system. To impose the rulership of Christ over this earth. And not to run from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me show you what it is like. We are in this world dominated by darkness and wickedness that have a fallen culture, that have a terrible system at work in them, that have their own gods. But we are here with a superior system, with God, greater is that is in us. Now, what we're supposed to do is not just to exist, let them exist, everybody just be on their own. No. What we're supposed to do is to impose our own system on the systems of the world. Are you following me, friends? That's what God wants to do. The Bible said the time is coming that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above every other mountain. That's what God wants to do. And that will not happen by running. And the only hope for that to happen are believers. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Jesus said, you are the salt. Is it chapter verse 14 or so? He said, you are the salt of the earth. Okay, verse 13. If it's not verse 13, then we'll go to verse 12. He said, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savor, where will that shall it be salted? It is good for nothing. So he calls believers salt. And literally, salt is salt. If you know what salt does to food, it adds savor. It adds meaning. If you make a very beautiful pot of soup and you don't add salt, it is useless. And that is how important believers. And one other thing you notice about salt is that salt has this capacity to preserve. You know this? It's used for preservation. Now, and I can tell you the reason why the wrath of God has not fallen upon this earth and everybody is dead, because there are still believers here. We are the preservation of the world. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's why we're not going to be moved from here. We are the preservation. You know, you say, where did we learn that from? Even from the Old Testament. When look at how Abraham engaged God. When Sodom was going to be destroyed, he was talking to God, are you going to let the wicked or the righteous be destroyed with the wicked? And God said, if I find even 5 righteous people there, I won't destroy the land. Are you getting me, friends? If I find, in other words, of course, we know it's not God that destroys Sodom, but then what he was saying is, if there are for the sake of 5 righteous men, I can restrain whatever evil that's going to come upon that land for the sake of 5 of them. And it's that serious. I didn't get the point. It is that serious. He said, this world is going to do this, do that. Nothing will happen to this world. We are here. And that's why I pity for this world when we are gone. Amen? When we are gone, when rapture happens and all of us disappear, I pity for this world. Because we are the preservation. And it's not to brag. It's what the word of God says. He said, what if I see 20? He said, if I see 20, they are safe. 10, even to 5, even 1, they will be safe. Glory to God. We are the salt of the earth. We add flavor to this world and we preserve the earth. Glory to God. So what we are supposed to do is to impose our own system, our own superior system on what is going on in this world. In Romans 12 verse 21, Paul will teach the Romans not to ever allow evil overcome good. He says, be not overcome of evil. He says, but overcome evil with good. And that's what the Lord wants us to do in this earth. To conquer the evil in this world with the good we have. And I'm going to do this today and next week. I'm going to show how we're going to do that. To overcome. Remember, we read 1 John 5:19. It says this whole world lies in wickedness. Amen? But then, it says in chapter 4 verse 4, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Okay? So because of the greater one, and the whole world lies in wickedness, we are supposed to use our good, the superior culture, the superior system that is working in us to overcome and subdue the evil that is in the world. Glory to God. So in your school, there's a system at work in your school. Most times it is satanic in nature. In your workplace, the same thing. I was talking about it the first day. That's why you come into some of those places, sin is normal. Sin is legalized. If you don't take bribe at work, they're looking at you like, what is wrong with you? It is like that. Hallelujah. What God expects believers to do is not to say, I can't work here. I can't school in this school, that's so bad. I can't live in these streets, that's so bad. God expects that you, with your light, will conquer darkness. Glory to God. You with your light. You know what the Bible puts it in John chapter 1 verse 5. Jesus was talking. John 1 verse 5. And I read it today. I read it over and over again. And it made sense to me. He said, the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. I get the point. Put up another translation. The light shines in darkness. So, do you know? He says, sir, but I'm just one. Do you know, if you are just the only believer in your environment and everywhere is dark, you have an advantage. What I mean is, it's even better. Look at how I used to explain it. If I bring this phone has a touchlight. You know, can you see the light? Can you see my touchlight? Can you? Some of you can. Some of you can't. But it's actually on. Why can't you see it? There is light here. But if this place is totally dark, no matter how small my light is, everybody will see it. I get the point. It's even better. Oh, move into a place and everywhere is dark. If you understand what God wants us to do, he said, look at the way NLT puts it. He said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Never. No amount of darkness can fight light. It's not even a scriptural thing. It's a practical thing. No matter how thick darkness is, bring Nokia torch. Hallelujah. In fact, the thicker the darkness, the more it can be conquered with a small light. You know it's true. The thicker the darkness, the more even the faintest of light can work. So what God wants us to do, to step into that system, you see, message said, the life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. And then the Bible will now tell us that we are the light of the world. And you see, he now made a statement. Go to Matthew 5:16. He said, we are the light of the world. Matthew 5:16. You are the light of the world. Quickly. Sorry, verse 14 rather, not 16 self. Verse 14. 16, now let your light shine. Verse 14. Glory to God. You are the light of the world. Now he makes an important statement, and that's what I wanted to see. A city. You know, people read this verse and they say, you are a city set on a hill. Don't be hidden. That's not what he's saying. Hallelujah. He said a city set on a hill cannot. It's not an instruction. You can't ignore the believer. I don't get the point. See, once light comes into darkness, you can't ignore light. The darker the place, the more you cannot ignore the light. Glory to God. Let me say it again. The darker the place, the more it becomes impossible to ignore the light. So when people say, that place, very corrupt. It's not time to get scared and say, I can't be there. Hallelujah. You know, some people, have you noticed some parents, I know some parents mean well. But then, so in an attempt to make sure that children don't spoil, they put them from mission nursery school to mission primary school to mission secondary school to mission university. Because we go spoil. I'm sure you know. Uh-huh. But it's a good thing. I'm not against it. I may even do it. Amen. But I'm just trying to say that if the reason you are passing your child through all those things is so that the child will not spoil, that doesn't work. You see, when I'm coming to that, when someone is saved, well trained, it's even better to launch him into darkness. When he gets there, he will shine the light. And that's the truth. When he gets there, he will become the light. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. It cannot be hid. So I begin to show you, one of the first ways to impose the system we have upon this world is by prayers. In prayers, we are standing against a work. Remember, let me refresh your memory a little. Remember the first day, I was showing you that this system of the world, they have their own God. Do you remember that? They have their own God. There's a God called the God of this age. There's a spirit that works in this world. It's not, but there's a spirit. We saw that, for instance, in Ephesians 2, 1, 2, 3. It talks about the spirits that works in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit that works in this world. Right? Now, where this God and this spirit works is in men. 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. We're going to read together from the screen. So once you're done writing, you look up and we'll read together. Are you ready now? Okay, let me hear your voice. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there is a God of this world. Now, where does that God, where does he operate? The heart of man. So what he does is he goes to the heart of people and cast darkness and blind their eyes. They don't see. They don't perceive. They don't understand. Begins to manipulate them. Now, this is why, first of all, we begin to pray. In prayer, we are standing against these forces. You know, sometimes you get to a place. I'll give you an example. Sometimes you get to a place and have you noticed that you can get to a certain area and there is a particular kind of thing that goes on in that area? I'll give you an example. You can get to some villages and prostitution is very rampant. Have you observed that? I go for missions a lot. When we go for mission work, there's something we call spiritual mapping. Okay? Spiritual mapping, I believe we gave those. I don't know that anybody has that name. I believe we forged those names. I don't know. But spiritual mapping is when you get into a city, a village or a city, before you start preaching, you prayerfully navigate around the city to find out what is at work in this community. And every community seems to have their own. I've got a community. Every single family we entered, that may be an illustration, but at least 90%. One girl must have a child out of wedlock. I get the point. Every community. And those are not things you can easily ignore. There are communities you get to, what is reigning is high-level idolatry. You see small boys, 20 years, 18 years, they're already going to. I was somewhere in a community to minister, just a crusade. And along the line, I began to see in the spirit that, some persons we are involved in diabolic discourse. But it was difficult for me to say, because, of course, it was a youth meeting. So I said, youth, now young people, how can this be within jazz? I shall announce it, expecting one or two people to come out. We had a strong move of the spirit that day, and they deceived people. Some came with their own. Young boys. And they were dropping it, were praying things. I said, how come? So you find these things in some places. Some places you get to is high-level violence. Some places you go to is drunkenness. These are the spirits. It's the devil still. But then they cast their influence over the city and over men. When you get those kind of places, for instance, in your school, different school communities have their own. There are some places you get to, it is thick spirit of religion in the school. I don't get the point. Some other places you get to, it is, you know, there are some schools that are, it's almost a crime to come to school dressed up. You have to be a bit naked. And these things are happening, please. Now, you don't come there. One of the ways to come, break through some of those things is in prayers. Because you find a young girl, some schools that are well known for prostitution and all that, you find a young girl, she'll come into the school proper. Everything is fine. Before her second year, something has left her head. You'll not be wondering, this one had home training before she came here. There are schools that what is getting there is young girls are known to follow older men. I've been to such a school. Evening like this, you come in front of the guest hostel, you see cars packed, older men, 80, 70. You think I'm joking? He said 80 years. What's he doing? Go over there, you see. 50, 60, coming to take their daughters. Now, these things happen everywhere. Now, when you find that, you know, there's some places you get to, it's like every young boy there is initiated into cultism. Or you have to start hiring. You get the point? Hard drugs. If you come into that kind of place and you don't conquer that place in the place of prayer, it's not be long, you begin to get under the influence too. Sometimes you find that before you know, it becomes a normal thing. The God of this age will blind your heart with something. I don't even get the point. One of the ways to conquer is in place of prayer. So we start imposing a superior system on a fallen world first in the place of prayer. You begin to pray. That's why there's some kind of, when I hear believers say this, like, I'm a new creation believer, I don't pray warfare prayers. No, there is warfare prayer even in evangelism. Sometimes you have to stand your ground and deal with satanic forces that are stopping men. You come to talk to somebody, you're trying to approach, but the person is running. Or is waiting you off. Some of these things happen all the time. So you can stand in the name of Jesus, we break the influence of wickedness over this land. Hallelujah. You begin to pray those prayers. And you begin to pray, another prayer you begin to pray, you begin to pray for people. Because this influence is in the hearts of men. You know, Paul will tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1. He said that first of all, prayer and supplication. First of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I like how he said first of all. And I like it. To me, it is priority. Prayer is priority. If we are going to have a city or a country where the influence of the king is prevalent in the city, we must have people that are praying over that city and praying for men. He talked about kings. First of all, he said all men. Look at verse 2. He said all men first. Verse 2, he narrowed it down to kings and all that are in authority. He said, why are you praying this? But what's my business for them, with them? See, what Satan knows to do, some of the easiest mission works I've gone for. Sometimes you go for some mission works in some cities, and then there is always one very influential person in the community, maybe a youth president. Now, once you win that person over, everybody starts following. When you get such people, you've won everybody. What Satan is going to do is get into the hearts of these men, these guys that are in place of authority, and then influence their hearts, and they begin to spread that influence all over the place. So you begin to take them in place of prayer, take all men in prayer. So if you want to cast light, you want to impose this superior system we're talking about upon your city, upon your school, upon your classroom, start taking them in the place of prayer. The men and the class in general, or the classroom, the school, the city, the office, begin to pray. Once you begin to pray, you are dispelling an influence and exerts another influence. In prayers, of course, thank God we are on a series on prayer on Sundays. In prayers, we are exerting the influence of the kingdom, a superior system on a fallen one. Hallelujah. And it's a great privilege to do that. We pray against those satanic forces that are dominating those environments and pray for the hearts of men. And pray for the hearts of men. Glory to God. Like, you want to get to a place, like, you want to go to the north, you want to evangelize Islamic communities, you don't just go there and start preaching. You can't shine light in Islamic communities. Just like that. If you don't seize that place in prayer, some of the verses that you find that is associated with the spirit of Islam is violence. You get the point? Once that spirit is in oppression, there is violence everywhere. Real Bunky was in Nigeria to do a meeting. The first time they came to Nigeria, I think it was Kano State, if I'm not mistaken. There was so much uproar that they had to smuggle him out of the crusade. They didn't want the meeting. You get the point? They were killing, they were fighting, shooting. They had to put him in a lorry. Evangelist Bunky. I'm not joking. And smuggled him out of the community. That kind of community, you don't just come there to preach and say, the Lord gave me a mandate. You have to shut some forces up. I get to the point. You have to arrest some hearts in prayer. Because this spirit of violence is not just with Islam, it's with many religions. You know, Pastor Benihim was supposed to have a meeting. I think it was somewhere around India, if I'm not mistaken. Some years ago, he was supposed to have that meeting with Pastor Chris. Now, prior to that meeting, he has been to that place before for a crusade. And there was an estimated number of about 3.something million conversions. People that got saved. So, a couple of years after, they put up another Christian and invited him. They began to riot. Say, anybody can come to this place but not Benihim. He didn't go. I'm not joking. Blocked everywhere, burning, riot, violence. No, he cannot be. If he says the boy will enter this land, ministry guys have to advise Benihim, Thank God they are not fighting over Pastor Chris coming, so that allowed Pastor Chris get into the land, but then he cannot come. Now, why are they so angry? You get the point? What is it that we even do as believers? It's not come and talk. I don't get the point. Why are they so afraid of talk? There's a spirit you are dealing with. I don't get the point. There's a spirit you are dealing with. Because it's like if they say I should gather all my church people so that some Muslim girls come and talk them out of Christianity, I'll give them free. I'm so sure you cannot convince. What are you going to tell them? They should cross their leg and bow down. Glory to God. And the problem is, in the course of the teaching, we'll start teaching them. And there will be impartations. And that's what is going to happen. But they know that there is a superior system that we are bringing. They know. The devil in them knows. Those spirits know. So if I go to a place to go and preach uproar, it happened in the book of Acts. Some places, you find resistance. Some places, these are spirits that you take the place in prayer. So you want to impose the system of God on your school, on your community, even your compound. Because when I'm talking about system, some of you like talking about nations. We like talking nations, talking states, which is a beautiful thing. But it starts from your room. Are you getting me, friends? It starts from, you guys are six in your room. And every morning, afternoon, night, what they're discussing in that room is guys. I don't get the point. Now, you can't just come, you can't win that room by saying, God forbid, see. You have to start thinking of how to impose your superior system on them. And I'm showing you how to do it. You begin to pray for them one by one and pray for that room. Some of you that stay in the hostel, you know, and they change your rooms. Some of you that are students, and they change your roommates every year. It is a great opportunity to minister to four or five new persons every year and get them saved. That's how I see it. It's a great opportunity to get four or five new persons saved every year. So you begin to say, in this room we impose. You know something? You can establish God's system in a place and it becomes so powerful. I believe a lot of things. Some things people don't believe. I believe that I can finish praying in a place and you come into that place and still be feeling the influence of my prayer inside that room. Amen? He says, sir, is that one in the Bible? I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because I think so. Yeah, it should be in the Bible. Don't you think so? Because Paul will send a handkerchief and the handkerchief will take healing all the way from maybe one country to another and the guy will be healed. Do you know what is happening there? What is happening in such things, that's why I told you, don't take some of these mantles things very seriously. It happens, but what is happening is when we bring a magnet and use it on an iron, when we remove the iron, the magnet, the iron will still retain some magnetic abilities. That's what happens. You can pray so much in a place that when people come, they will still feel the influence of that place. And this is until I practiced it a lot when I was in school. Amen. There was time I decided that, you know, those days when in school, you know, believers can come to your room and pass the night. If you cannot come to my room, I have a problem with prayer. When you come to this place, the atmosphere is prayed. Now, I'm saying you should begin to pray for your community, pray for your school, pray for your family. That's how to bring the influence of God, the government of God, over the government of this world. It starts by prayer. Secondly, of course, you begin to take the gospel to them. Now, and preaching the gospel to people, it's a very, and I want to take it from another perspective, it's a very important thing because this darkness that is ruling the world, how many of you know that Satan cannot run this earth except through men? So the way Satan runs this earth is by influencing men, the heart of men, with darkness. The only way that darkness, go back to that 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the only way that darkness can leave the hearts of men is by the gospel. Do you remember? What do you remember? If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel Darkness, yeah. That's the truth. We cannot expel darkness, and that is the truth. Forever, that's the truth. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. What is he trying to keep their mind from? The glory, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. That's the only thing. He said, Satan does not shield the heart of men from motivational speaking. That's why I tell people, there are churches that Satan would rather want people to go to. Amen? No gospel there, no problem. They should go. They should go and get their healing. They should even go and prosper. The major fight is lest the light of the glory of Christ will shine on their hearts. Any other translation of this? Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. NLT says, you see, we don't go around preaching. Okay, verse 4. Go back to verse 4, sorry. If you want to verse 5. It says, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the mind of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ. That is the fight. So all Satan wants to take the hearts of men from is the gospel. Because the gospel is the hope. The gospel is the light. It is when they now come into the gospel that they come in contact with this superior system we are talking about. The only way to take them out of that system. So even when you begin to pray, the prayer is to the end that you preach to them. I didn't get the point. So you begin to take the gospel to them because that would be the only way. Message said, all they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think he can give them what they want. And that they won't have to bother believing the truth they can't see. They are stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ. They are stone blind to it. They don't, and that is all Satan wants to do. Hallelujah. That is all he wants to do. The only way to keep this earth, this world, in perpetual darkness, under the influence of darkness, is to keep men from the gospel. That's the only way. So we're talking about the superior system, a system that, you know, we're talking about a lot of things last week, how they see things differently, how we act differently, how they celebrate a lot of rubbish. The only way to liberate this world from that kind of system we'll be talking about all the while is by the gospel. Once you can shine the light of the gospel in the hearts of men, you've started having victory. We've started imposing our system on them. Are you getting me, friends? So you begin to preach the gospel. That is the hope. That is the hope. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. That is the hope. Amazingly, the only hope. I'm coming back to this 2 Corinthians shortly. We'll go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, it is the power of God on salvation. And I like to say this time, you see, this thing called the gospel of Christ is the power of God. See, if you don't preach it, men can never be saved. If you say any other thing, men will not be saved. Men can be excited, men can cry, people can shout, but they will never be saved. It's only the gospel of Christ that saves men. Now, next verse is the power of God on salvation. Hallelujah. For therein, quickly, verse 17, quickly. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when we preach the gospel that reveals God's righteousness from faith to faith, men will be saved. And that's the way. And that's the way to get them out of that system. Out of the influence of that system. Go back to that 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. It said, in whom the God of Israel has blinded their eyes, that they will not see. And that's what Satan keeps doing. He keeps their eyes blind. They don't see what is going on. They don't see the light. They don't see the gospel. Hallelujah. Next verse, verse 5. They stop the light of gospel from shining to them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. Let's read together. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what God has done to us. That's what he wants to do to the world. He wants to shine in their hearts. And that's how we're going to win. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it is possible to come into a place that has this fallen system. That's why I tell you, one thing you must never do when you get into such places is to compromise. When you are in that place, you are actually there to impose your own system on them and not to succumb to their system. Message calls it, says, as in, how did the message put it? It's below you. It's beneath you. Hallelujah. It is beneath you. It is immature. So when you find, it's just like you come, this place is full of darkness, and you come with your light, or you are the light, and then you come in and everywhere is dark. You don't say, ah, this one everywhere is dark. Let me kukuma, put off my own light. That's what you do when you go to a place. And begin to succumb. You begin to copy how they dress. You begin to copy how they talk. You are actually there to impose your light there. To impose a system there. You know, when I was growing up, as a Christian and as a minister, I did a lot of all this casting out of devils, deliverance, kingdom of darkness, that. Because I started ministry with secondary school, all these small girls that said I possessed. Something always gets me wild whenever I'm done with some of those sessions. You see a small girl of just 2, just 3, and then she begins to tell you she belongs to something. And then in the process of the whole prayer, she now begins to tell you one or two persons she has initiated into their whatever. You hear all these kind of stories. Now that gets me very worried. It doesn't get me worried because they are winning. That's not my problem. How can a young girl of Jesus to carry the devil and is passionate about sharing it? And believers come into a place with light and they keep calm. See, if one witch enters this church, you people will notice her in less than 2 months. It won't take time. One witch, she must do something. You must know that she exists. But the believers get into a place with their light and they just begin to succumb. They begin to blend. They begin to bend. They begin to copy one or two. Try to share their ideologies so that you will not look too spiritual. So that it's not looking like you don't know what's up. So that you show that you know what's up. Just that. I choose not to know what's up. I actually know what's up. The word of God is what's up. And I can say that. I'm not saying I just excited. That's me. I've never, you know, I gave you a warning. Was that last week or last 2 weeks? Never envy sinners. Remember that? Never do that. Don't envy the wicked. Don't do that. We came to impose our light. And that's not by fighting them. That's by praying and shining the light in their darkness. And I can tell you, the only thing that will stop people from being saved is that they will not hear you. So the only thing Satan will try to do is to make sure they don't hear you to the end. Let me say this. You know, I normally tell people, when people say they want to come and disrupt a service, I normally tell them, make sure you come when I've started preaching. Because if you come under the influence of that message, you must be saved. I believe the gospel like that. I believe in the gospel like that. And so, we can impose our light on the darkness of this world. Glory to God. And the third thing I'm going to ask you to do, we continue from here next week, if we're going to impose our system on this world, is to, when we reach out to men with the gospel and get them saved, we disciple them through the church. Now, the truth of the matter is, we see a lot of believers who are saved. They are already saved. They already have the superior system. But they are still living and compromising. Have you seen such things? And living like they are not saved. It's because they are not yet trained and discipled. That's why we talk about church. For instance, you are hearing this message now, so that you cannot suck. So, you know, you will not subscribe. As you are listening to this and I'm teaching now, growth is happening to you. I didn't get the point. So our assignment is, if we want to impose our system on the world, pray for them. Reach out to them. When they get saved, create a system, let them be disciples. That's why we talk about church. Let them grow. The more they are growing, the more they are learning to, of course, to live as they are, to live according to this superior system, the more the system of the world is going down. I don't get the point. The more they are growing, the more they are learning to live according to the word of God, the more the system of the world is being defeated. So you get people saved, and then you get them to grow. Once that begins to happen, you already imposing. Imagine we come to that place, a particular classroom of 100 persons, where it is a normal thing to do certain things, a normal thing to misbehave, a normal thing to cheat in the exam, a normal thing to sort your exam, and if you don't sort, it's looking like something is wrong with you. Why are you acting so holy? It's a normal thing to do all of this. And then somebody, one believer, enters and begins to pray for them. And as he's praying for them, he's taking them one by one and preaching to them and preaching to the whole class too. And then out of 100, about 30, 40 people get saved. I'm painting a picture to you. And then those 40 people, he now gets them to church and they begin to grow. Over 2-3 months, they would have grown and have learned how to esteem God's word above every other thing. The next time that issue of such a course up in class, it's no longer one person saying we will not do it. It's now 40 people. You're already conquering darkness. I didn't get the point. You're already conquering darkness. Imagine a place known for prostitution. Everybody's busy doing whatever. And you come and start praying for the city. And start reaching out to them. Before you know, once there is a majority of people who are standing for God and who are mature, standing strong in their walk with God, the thing begins to lose value. You know, you become ashamed for doing it. You know, our world is so bad that people are now ashamed for doing the right thing. Because people doing the wrong thing are too much. I don't get the point. But if we can influence this place with light, preaching to men, getting them saved, having them grow, and more men are disciples. The way the Lord spoke to me this evening is something I've always heard, but it just dropped in my heart like that. He said, more men saved, more men discipled, will lead to the dominating of the systems of this world. You get to a bank. The bank is known for bribe. It's known for fraud. They are known, you know, they manipulate figures. And that's what they do there. You come in, you begin to pray for them. You begin to preach to them. They get saved. At first, when they get saved, of course, you know why. Their mind is still under the influence of whatever. They will still be doing those things. But they begin to come to church. They begin to get discipled. It will get to a time when, by the time there are 30 workers in the bank, and you've done that to about 10, 12, 15, 18 people. By the time that deal comes up again, there are 18 people saying no. I don't get the point. 18 people, you've conquered, you've intimidated darkness in that place. And that's why Satan will never let this happen. He fights it with everything in him. And we are stubborn too. Hallelujah. We are resilient. And so we must be found disciples. You know, Paul will tell them in Colossians, in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. He says, my little children, with whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. So we get people saved. But we continue traveling. That's why we tell people, when you preach to people, invite them to church. It's actually not because we want the church full. No, that's not the reason. The actual reason is because more men saved and more men discipled will mean that we are casting a strong influence over darkness in the world. You know, some of you that have been trying to stand for God in your small space, maybe in your office or in your workplace or in, you know, your family or in your classroom. Imagine there are 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 people who are like you, standing for the same thing you stand for in that small space. It will be easier for you to do the same. Don't you think so? It will be easier. It will even be easier for you guys to talk to other people. A place that has up to 20 guys and all they do, you know, there's somewhere I know like that too. It's that place, they smoke their life out. Once a young guy enters there, I'm talking about the school environment. Once a young guy enters the lodge, it will not be long. You have to go down to Gambi smoking. Imagine a believer enters there and does not begin to do, hey, these people are dying in sin. And really begins to dominate that place, like we've thought. Begins to pray for them. Reach out to them. One or two persons are getting saved. Dragging them to church. You see, that's why I tell you, beyond the evangelism we go out to do, there is work you have to do in your personal space. There is work you have to do in your office, in your classroom, in your street, in your compound. Imagine that guy begins to drag them to church. Gradually, they themselves begin to grow and begin to let go of the whole smoky whatever. Gradually, the thing begins to fade and lose value. It's no longer be the reigning thing. How to dominate darkness is to shine light so strong. The stronger the light, the more darkness cannot stand it. And I'm going to tell you, that's what we have to do in our different spaces. Hallelujah. So imagine that guy begins to shine that light in that small place. Before you know, smoking becomes, you will no longer be bold to do it. No matter how dark a place is, the darker the place, the more life will even be relevant. So we have a superior system. What we do with that system is not to carry it to ourselves or to mock the other system. What we do with it is to impose it. I'm careful with the word impose. You impose it on them. And that's not by forcing it on them, by saying, you know, some people, and I want to say this. This I'm going to say are not bad, but that's not the ultimate thing. You see people, lecturers in universities, they are Christians, they are trying to make people live right. You begin to hear things like, you can't come to my class this way. You can't come to my class that way. You can't wear trousers and enter my class. You see, those things are fine if that's what you stand for. But see, that's not the ultimate job. The ultimate job is to impose God's kingdom, God's system. If you're a lecturer in that school and you begin to pray for the students and begin to get them saved, which is very easy to get students saved when you're a lecturer. Very easy. They want to pass. Look, they will listen to you. Especially if you know what you're doing. I'll talk more about that next week. Now, you begin to get them saved. And gradually, these guys begin to grow and get better. Gradually, you begin to see something becomes different. The good thing is, you are not only trying to stop them from wearing miniskirts to come to your class. You've taught them not to wear it at all. Because they've grown. The other one, you tell them, don't wear it to my class. Fine. And then your class is over. And I went to school. Sometimes they carry it in their bag. They come to your class. After your class, they put it on. You know what I'm talking about? Once your class is over, they put it on. That's different. And ladies are interesting. Maybe there's somebody they want to go to from class. So it's there. But they know this lecturer won't allow them to wear this into their class. So they carry it in their bag. When they go. And you see, that's not the ultimate thing. Moral instruction is good, but it doesn't change anybody. What changes men is the light of the gospel in the heart of men. And then spiritual growth, Christ being formed in them. Christ already lives in them, but being formed in them, in their conduct, in their thought pattern, and they begin to grow. Which is what I'm doing for you in church here. Gradually, you begin to drop off all those things associated with that system, and you begin to train your heart to align to the word of God. And gradually, we're going to impose the government of God upon the systems of this world. Glory to God. I will say more about that next week. But that's what God wants us to do. To impose the government of God, the system of God, our own thought pattern. Because that's the ultimate thing that we're going to see. We impose our own thought pattern, our own way of doing things, our own way of thinking upon the system of this world. Glory to God. Because I tell you, I see and I believe that we are going to have it in this season. Where we come into a particular place and it looks like the in thing to do is to be born again. The right thing to do is to serve the Lord. And that's because we've so much dominated that place. Isaiah 2 verse 2. Let's read that and then we close. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. We're going to read Isaiah 2 verse 2. Hallelujah. And then maybe Micah 4 verse 1. But Isaiah 2 verse 2 for now. And it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. That's what God wants to do. That's what we are going to do. That in your schooling environment, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall begin to flow into it. So we are not trying to say we are the light of the world. We are from a different system. We are not of the world. So let them be doing their own. We're just trying to say to Fiaqua, see them. No, we are not supposed to live as victims. I've told you, right? We are not victims of anything. We are here to impose our own system. You don't stay aside saying to Fiaqua, say that they're living this people. They're living their life. They're watching BB Niger, Jesus Christ. That's what we came to do. You know, I told you guys something about BB Niger. And that is still related to what I'm talking about today. You know, normally, what is wrong with 20-something people, how many are they, getting into one room, one house, to live for 3 months? What's wrong with that? Nothing. Something is wrong with it because it is 20-something unbelievers that you pack into a place. Are you what I'm talking about? Imagine they packed 20-something of us inside one place. and that watch us. Before that, they will learn how to pray, learn how to interpret the Bible. Hallelujah. And that is, so the problem, what is darkness? Darkness does not exist in a vacuum. Darkness exists in the heart of men. I don't get the point. And so when those men that are of darkness now come together, darkness becomes evident. But we are going to see this happen. A mountain of the Lord's house established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. We are going to see that happen. And put up like NLT also before we get to Micah. I'm going to show you that same scripture, this same verse in Micah. It says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. And we are going to see that happen. Hallelujah. And it's happening. Micah chapter 4 verse 1. Micah chapter 4 verse 1. Velo garete kosha. Come on, stand with King James. The same prophecy, it was given by Isaiah. It was so important. Micah gave it too. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord. And if you know the distance between when Isaiah wrote and when Micah wrote his own in years, and yet God was saying the same thing. That in the last days, and these are the last days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. People shall flow into it. And we are living those days. So as you leave this place, you get back to your street, you get back to your school, you get back to your workplace, you get back to your family, and impose the system of God over that system. Hallelujah. That's our assignment. We are going to see the mountain of the Lord's house exalted above every other mountain, and we're going to see all men flowing to it. And I will live to witness these days. Hallelujah. We will live to witness this. Stand to your feet wherever you are. We will live to witness these things happening nowadays. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Take like 3 minutes before we close and pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me hear you lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. What do you pray about? You can pray for your area. You can pray for your environment. You can pray for your street. You can pray for your school. You can pray for where you are. That we are going to see, we are going to impose, we are going to see the imposition and the dominating of God's kingdom in such places. Lift your voice and pray. Let me hear you. Just pray, pray, pray. Meno verete no kashidakea. Isu vareti goramati evalegash. Zile go vrete, vrete, vrete. Emale kuna matega baradesh. Vele lede boborate tete bobo shandia. This is the hope. This is the hope. This is the answer to prostitution taking over cities. This is the answer to young men joining cults. The answer to cults in taking over cities. Let's get this guy saved. Let's get them discipled. When we see people saved and discipled, we are going to see the government of God gain relevance. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. The answer is not in instructions. It's not in moral, whatever, as important as that is. The answer is in imposing God's government over the hearts of men. And discipling them. Just pray, 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 pray. Let me hear you. Higa maroke tiga barega niadush. Helate vorati goshidaga. Mantala basonto lobo rate ganesha. Take 2 more minutes. I want you to pray. I wanted to pray. Many of you might need to go back and really, really begin to pray for your cities. You know, when I was talking about some things that are seen in some streets and some schools, you know that that's your own environment. It's time to begin to pray and bring down those forces, those influences,
and exalt Ikamadesh. The mountain of the Lord stands above every other mountain. We have a superior system. We don't hide it. The light shines in darkness. Darkness has never and can never conquer light. Mabarode vashande koradas. Soletate tababakona tatata. Woo! Maberede kona shanda kayadas. Hina mama mama de babarada bababash. You have 1 more minute, just pray. Hindalaba sondele boronte kania de kadash. Mabaleve no baraketa kenadosha. Hiala da bakona te kamba rodish. Villages can be saved. Streets can be saved. Communities can be saved. We can impose God's system. We can disciple the nations. We can disciple nations. We can. And see them submit to the government of God. And to the influence of God. We can impose our own thought pattern. We can impose our own dress sense. We can impose our own thinking pattern. We can impose our own way of doing things on the world. But that will come by we praying for them and taking the gospel to them and discipling them in the light of the gospel of Christ and see them submit to the leadership of the world. We can see that happen again and again and again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I say in Jesus' name we pray. Father, thank you. And we leave this place sent forth as light to shine in our different environments. In the name of Jesus, we declare that from this day, Kamate go rate bateya, we will live to see the mountain of the Lord's house exalted above every other mountain. In the name of Jesus, our cities shall be saved. Our families shall be saved. Our schools shall be saved. Our workplaces shall be saved. Our nation shall be saved. There is hope for Nigeria. And we are the hope of Nigeria. We shall see this city saved. We shall see this country saved. More men saved. More men discipled. Wickedness shall not rule over this land. Wickedness shall not prevail over this land. Wickedness shall not prevail over this land. We contend for the destiny of Nigeria. I will say that wickedness shall not prevail over this land. We declare this land shall be saved. In the name of Jesus. We see more men saved. More men discipled. More men saved. More men discipled. We see the mountain of the Lord's house exalted above every other mountain. And many shall flow into it. In the name of Jesus. The days are here. Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.